In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So today we celebrate the feast of the Synaxis of the archangels Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and all the bodiless powers. So today I say to you, blessed feast. So we read in the Synaxarion today that when Satan fell away from God and drew a third of the angels with him, that Michael rallied the faithful angels, saying, "Let us stand aright, let us stand with fear, let us attend," which is what we hear the deacons say today. And all of the faithful angelic hosts replied, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory," which the choir sings. We, today and every Sunday, whenever we join in worship, join in the angelic worship of God at the heavenly throne with the thousands of archangels, ten thousands of angels, the cherubim and the seraphim. This is what we're doing. Just a moment ago, with the little entrance, as I come onto the, myself or whichever priest is serving comes onto the Salea, the priest says, or asks God to cause that with our entrance, there also be an entrance of holy angels serving with us and glorifying his holy name. We don't do this alone, but we're joined with all the saints and the angels. And also, in just a moment, just before the great entrance, we sing the cherubic hymn. Let us who mystically represent the cherubim and sing the thrice holy hymn to the life-giving Trinity now lay aside all earthly cares. So that's what we need to do. But why? That we may receive the King of all who comes invisibly, escorted by the angelic hosts. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. If you listen to the prayers of the liturgy, there's so much that we can learn about our faith and the spiritual life. That we may receive the King of all, God. He is the source of our life. And it's by God that life is imparted to us. When our souls come in contact with him, they are enlightened and they are enlivened. We read in the gospel that by his touch, and sometimes just his word, the blind receive sight, the deaf their hearing, the paralyzed are restored to movement, the dumb speak, the lepers are cleansed. There is healing of all sicknesses, and life is given to the dead. Now, the past couple weeks, for the gospel readings, there's been a sequence. We see a few weeks ago that by his word the storms were calmed. And last week, we have the demons being cast out. And now, sickness is healed and death is overthrown and restored to life. All of these show Christ's lordship over everything, over nature, over the spirits, over our own sicknesses and death. So in today's gospel, we meet Jairus, who is a leader of the synagogue, a prominent man. And surely what must have been the worst day of his life. His poor daughter, young girl, was deathly ill. And most likely, not only was he sorrowful, but shameful, because to lose a child was seen as punishment by God. So to not only be sad at the loss of your child, but to bear the shame that you had wronged God in such a way as to cause your daughter's death. This was the belief at the time. Now, Jairus had faith, perhaps not like the Roman centurion with his servant, who begged Christ only to say the word, and he knew that his servant would be healed. Jairus asked Christ to come to his home, and Christ had mercy on him and started towards the house. Christ honors our faith in whatever capacity we have. And it's a curious thing, because on the way to heal this sick and dying girl, Christ performs another miracle. There's this huge crowd surrounding him on all sides. Most likely people are pushing up against him and grabbing at him and talking with him, trying to get his attention. And one of those is this woman who for years and years and years has had a flow of blood. And she spent all of her money on doctors who could do nothing about it. And she gathers up her faith enough to say to herself, if I just touch the hem of his garment, just the hem of his garment, I know I'll receive healing. And again, this is a sickness that no doctor could heal, no amount of money. So in the great entrance, it's customary for many people to kind of grab at the priest's vestments. This is a pious practice that we do in imitation of this woman. I'd like to remind you, please don't pull. Please don't step in the way. We're carrying what is to be the body and blood of Christ, and it's all too easy to trip. My children, who are not here today, are the worst offenders you'll see. Little Isaiah just swing his hand at me. Please don't imitate them. Imitate this pious woman, who just a soft touch of the hem of Christ's clothing. Now, she was not healed because Christ's garments were somehow imbued with some sort of magic, or that she did so of her own accord without Christ's knowledge. He plays ignorant. He asks, "Who touched me?" But he had a reason for this. No, this woman was healed with Christ's direct knowledge and by his power and his will in response to her faith. When we come into contact with Christ, he heals us. And so we must make our contact with him frequent, with depth of faith, bringing every aspect of our lives and all of our being to Christ. This is what it means to have faith, to hold nothing back from him, to allow God to heal all of us, not just those parts that we think are sick and dying. Brothers and sisters, there may be more than you know. In proclaiming the faith of the woman, pointing her out to the crowd, making sure that everyone knew who it was that touched him, who it was that was healed, he confirmed her faith not only for the woman herself, but he strengthened Jairus' faith as well, who was with him. So that when Christ says to Jairus, when he hears of his daughter's death, when he says, "Do not be afraid, only believe," Jairus would believe that his daughter would be returned to life. So we must have faith. But faith in what? These days it seems that a lot of our faith is put in human institutions, in princes and sons of men who in whom there is no salvation. I'll wait till that passes. Now, human institutions are good, such as the ones that are driving by right now. And it is good to desire and work for the benefit of the people, the community, the country. But our hope must be in Christ alone. I hate to say it, but neither Trump nor Biden nor any other politician can offer salvation. No one but Christ has suffered and died to defeat Satan and death and rose again so that we might have new life in Him. Only Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." If we want to heal a divided community, a divided country, it will not be through political arguments, but through wholly uniting ourselves to Him. Remember the woman, she spent all of her money and probably a significant amount of her time with doctors who were unable to help her. But by simply approaching Christ in humility and faith, she was made whole. Our Lord said, "You will know a tree by its fruit." Now, in the current climate, what fruit do you find in your heart planted there by politics? If you find anger, stress, frustration stirring up within you, like I often do when I think of these topics, this is not from God. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you have feelings welling up within you that are not of the Holy Spirit, have nothing to do with it. Flee from that and submit your hearts to God and be healed by Him. He desires to make you whole and raise you up to new life in Him, as He desires to do for the community and for the country. My friends, do not fear, only believe. Approach God for healing as Jairus did, and reach out and touch Him as the woman did. Let us lay aside all earthly cares, placing our faith in God alone. To the glory of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.